In terms of this overall meeting, want to give a few background comments and then move on to what we think are some of the issues. In graduate school, I was taught that data and information was a dichotomy. I think it's actually a continuum. And I think what I might call data, somebody else might call information. So this is actually all rolled together. That's kind of a theoretical point. I think to follow up on the prior speaker, if we're going to talk about competitive markets, if we're going to talk about transparency, if we're going to talk about helping family farmers, if we're going to talk about leveling the playing field, let's not forget the baseline of that, and that is largely data and information. I think one of the points we want to make is why, in our assessment, do we think that these market-based reports are at risk and, in fact, in some cases are being targeted specifically compared to other programs? And I think there are some clear reasons why. I was going to put the word sexy on this slide. It's because they're not sexy. I think compared to something like the Census of Agriculture tends not to be targeted. It tends to be something that you can explain to a bureaucrat or to a politician and put it in a rather concise package. This is a whole array of market reports, market information that really is much harder to explain in a very simplistic context, and I think that certainly contributes to why these are being targeted. This, overall, if we look at USDA, it's a mix of voluntary and mandatory reports. Obviously, it's a rich array of voluntary reports that are based on voluntary providing of information in the livestock sector. It not only comes from producers, it comes from packers, it comes from all types of market participants. In terms of the Livestock Marketing Information Center and all of our member institutions, which really represents the whole livestock sector, there's important reports from National Ag Statistics Service. Basically, every livestock report they do and the feedstuff reports are very important to the livestock sector. In terms of USDA's Ag Marketing Service, we track most all of their livestock reports. So they have, and then the grain reports that they do, and we'll highlight some of those. Foreign Ag Service provides very important reports, especially the weekly trade data, both on live, meat products and on the grain side. And then they work very diligently to provide data that's useful to us out of the Commerce Department, which would not be near as accessible or near as valuable without the monthly work of Foreign Ag Service. And then there's Economic Research Service. We rely on them for many things, including retail prices, which are very problematic in terms of if you want to discuss the details, but they are the only source available. We rely on them for some calculations of spread relationships, difference between, let's say, wholesale and retail prices and producer-level prices, et cetera. Again, something that tends to be controversial, but some people would view as a data point. We also rely on them on very much in a data sense on things like calculating the aggregate disappearance of dairy products, which is actually a very cumbersome and very complex process because we have hundreds of products that are produced in the dairy industry. Let me jump down to the next point here. Some of these USDA reports are legally required, but not many of them. And I want to stress, not many are legally required, which puts them at risk to kind of bureaucratic whims and political pressure. Joe did mention what he called the special economic indicators. That was a very small subset that he mentioned there. And I think I want to expand on that just slightly and mention that, for example, he mentioned quarterly hogs and pigs. But maybe they don't have to provide it quarterly. I think he overstated monthly cattle on feed. That could be reduced to an annual report. There's nothing on cattle inventory, nothing. Almost every report that the markets use were not included in that list that they think are critical economic indicators that are feeding into the national system of economic indicators and kind of the macroeconomic environment of assessment. Also at Ag Marketing Service, we've had some major changes. It's a federal state market news process that has really come under pressure lately. We've had three states essentially lose their state component of that, and we've lost lots of our pricing information. Wisconsin, Texas, Louisiana, California, my home state, lost their market news decades ago. I still get calls today from researchers at universities, from agribusiness, and from state government asking me for where are the California data and how come you don't have them? And it's because they do not cooperate in that effort. In terms of recurring reports that are constantly on the chopping block, which we think are largely a disservice to the livestock industries, the mid-year cattle inventory, last year in the drought, a few years ago we lost quality in that data set where we had a state-by-state assessment in the mid-year cattle inventory was taken to just a national summary report. last year in the drought in Texas, Oklahoma, et cetera, very difficult to manage. Sheep and goats, a year ago, that report, the mid-year was eliminated. Then come 3 months later, the January 1 report is reported to be in process of being eliminated. I think also we need to think about production disposition and income reports. Those are kind of the value in the ag sector. If NAST does not do that, then agencies like Economic Research Service will be under pressure and probably need to be thinking ahead as to how we're going to provide those things. It's going to put pressure on other agencies, this is the bottom line, as we lose these reports. We also lose effort in terms of detail here. We lose state-level data in these detail. We also have a lot of county-level data that is used by, let's say, risk management agency for crop insurance, et cetera, very sensitive data. We're losing that level of detail. I mentioned earlier we could, even under the current guidelines, you could take a quarterly hogs and pigs report and say annual is satisfactory. Annual is not satisfactory in an industry that is biologically based, whether it be crop or livestock, and you have multiple turnovers per year. And I think we have a lot of structural change that gets missed if we go to this less reporting time frame in the whole overall marketplace. I want to highlight the Southern Plains data that was lost in Texas, where we essentially lost the state reporting, so we did not have, potentially, grain prices being reported in the Southern Plains. And that seems to be a grain market story, but it really isn't. It's also a feedlot story. The feedlots in the Southern Plains use the AMS market reports to price the corn in the feeding where a rancher is retaining ownership or other people are feeding cattle. So it's part of the pricing system for the livestock sector. Fortunately, AMS stepped up, but that was a real problematic area. Also, that particular report, if we look across the AMS reports, what's mandated by NAS under the economic indicators is ag prices. A large portion of ag prices, those data are populated by their sister agency, which is AMS. And so these are all interrelated, and that sometimes is, and I think often is overlooked, even at times within USDA. Farm Service Agency, we hear the question often, and coming from producers, we already are giving our crop data to Farm Service Agency, why do we provide it again? We provide it again because the acreage report this morning was very important, and we can't wait for FSA to get data compiled in November to find what's going on in the marketplace. Last year we had problems with Food Safety Inspection Service not providing in a timely way the livestock and poultry slaughter data, which are mandated by law, but they were not effectively sharing it with their sister agency. That may have had computer dimensions, et cetera, but there are agency linkages here that are behind the scenes that really need to be worked on and maintained to provide the data and information flows in our marketplace. We also have Animal Plant Health Inspection Services that collects the weekly data on the animal flows from Canada that are then compiled by Ag Marketing Service that then feed into the system. There are problems at times in terms of that flow of information across agencies, and that needs to be dealt with at times. So my final comments are that quality data do not magically appear. I think this is a classical public good. Now, in the second bullet point, that tough was a typo, but then I read the dictionary and I decided I liked the word there. This is not easy stuff to do. This is not new. I think largely when we explain this to politicians and bureaucrats that we understand that this is a classical public good. Timely data are more and more important. Time series data are critical. Cannot just do random reports and expect markets to function effectively. What do we all need to do as a community? We need to comment to Federal Register notices when they come from all agencies and stress the importance of these data and not just ignore that. We must clearly reference and correctly reference USDA sources, whether we're in the agribusiness sector and commodity groups, et cetera. It's long past the time where we don't reference USDA data or we just put USDA as the data source is no longer acceptable. We need to encourage multi-agency communication and cooperation. That's a key. I think they do that, but I think we need to do that better. And we need to educate Congress and our stakeholders. And it's very frustrating as a professional ag economist and market analyst to really even have this as a topic of discussion. This should be a no-brainer. Unfortunately, it is not. And these market-based reports seem to be the ones that are most at risk. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to questions.
Okay, Joe. Art, Jim?
I'll be Joe. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We've got one quick, I got one quick question for you while we get ready to move on to our final presenter. What do you see the commodity group stepping up to help fill the gap here?
Really, you know, in terms of in the Texas situation, for example, the commodity group suggested they could step up and fill the gap on the price information. They are not an unbiased source of information, even though they are a commodity group. I think in terms of stepping up to create awareness, I think so. They need to step up in terms of their producers. But I think there really is, you know, the unbiased and credible source of information is USDA. And even though many commodity groups and their members of our center, they are not viewed as necessarily an unbiased and a source of information.